Little bit of breaking news for you. General Motors just dropped its first quarter earnings results for 2024, $43 billion in revenues. That outpaced expectations from Wall Street that was somewhere in the $39 billion range. And net income attributable to shareholders of $3 billion outpaced the $2.4 billion that was expected. So General Motors outpacing expectations. They've got an earnings call coming up at 8:30 a.m. One of the big questions is going to be is how you doing with BEVs? Are you making any money on those yet? Mm-hmm. Or have your losses started to shrink yet? That will be a big question facing Mary Barra. And it's also the topic of today's mobility makers. What is happening with EV demand? It's brought to you by Bridgestone. Getting people down the road matters, but getting generations down them, that's what really matters. Bridgestone. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more. Alex Partners releasing a major consumer interest survey yesterday assessing the level of interest in BEVs. Arun Kumar is partner and managing director in the automotive industrial practice for Alex Partners and joins us live this morning. Good morning, Arun.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. You're trying to take the temperature here, and the word that leaps out at me is when you're talking about the domestic American market is stagnating. You know, every time I mention slowing demand, you know, BEV fans kind of beat me about the head and say, it's still growing. You use this word stagnating that suggests otherwise. Put that into context for me, please.
Well, I mean, the stagnation is relative to, if you think about what's happening in China, which is zooming past us. It went from 85% of interest level of all consumers in China to 97%. So the entire market in China is thinking about buying a battery electric. Whereas in the U.S., we stagnated at 35%. So we had a pandemic-fueled growth because they had affordability to buy and stretch their payments to buy the vehicles. But now, you know, it's that interest level is stagnated at 35%. So that's a problem. And other countries are zooming past us.
Arun, you know, your study indicates that loyalty to BEVs is high among existing owners. So, you know, what can automakers do to enhance that brand loyalty and encourage repeat purchases of the BEVs?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest concerns that consumers have is really around charging. You know, they don't have enough places to charge or the charging takes too long. They also have concerns sometimes about service centers not being available to fix their vehicles. But those concerns go away. The charging takes too long and then the service centers go away once they own a battery electric vehicle, right? So once they get to test it out, once they use it for some time, they feel like it's not as concerning to them to own a battery electric vehicle. But, you know, so there's a bit of consumer education that needs to be done by the automakers to ensure that either they hear it from their friends and family or just through media advertising that there is a sense that, you know, the owning a battery electric is not as onerous as people think, you know, before they buy one. However, the physical infrastructure of having charging locations to go and charge is still pretty high, even among the battery electric vehicle owners, right? So that needs to be fixed pretty soon. Otherwise, you know, we're going to have more and more people just waiting on the fence before they jump into the battery electric vehicle bandwagon.
Arun, it seems like price is certainly a factor, too, because most people in the U.S. would choose a Chinese BEV if it was priced lower than the other ones.
Yeah, that was a very interesting finding from our survey, which is one of the most comprehensive that we've done in the industry. I think the Chinese are different from the way the Koreans and the Japanese came into this country, right? They came in with cheaper vehicles, but the quality wasn't as great. You know, they improved the quality as time went on. Whereas the Chinese are actually playing the game differently. They're coming in with technology, they're coming in with price, and you know, they're good enough in a quality standpoint, right? So the game is played quite a bit differently. So if tomorrow if there is a Chinese battery electric vehicle available in America, I think people are going to buy that because, you know, that's what they're telling us, because it's a good enough vehicle for them from a quality standpoint, reliability standpoint, and it's got great technology, right? So that's what makes it more attractive, and the price is 20% lower, and they can't afford it today.
Arun, there was an assumption that this would follow the normal arc of technology adoption, that maybe there would be some resistance on the part of some consumers, but as their neighbors got a BEV or they got to ride in it and they got an endorsement from their neighbor, hey, saying, I really love this car, that then those adoption metrics would change. Why is that not happening?
Well, actually, that's a great point. Our finding from the last survey in 2021 is exactly that. friends and family are one of the biggest influencers when it comes to consumers considering a battery electric vehicle, right? But you got to keep in mind that today the penetration of battery electric is about 8% in the U.S. So that's kind of the early majority of the early adopters that are innovative. They want to buy new technology. They find BEV as a great way to do good to the environment and then, you know, buy a cool technology, right? Now we are bringing in the next wave of buyers, what we call the early majority, right? The early majority, you know, they're one or two cars, but, you know, they want to make sure that BEV is truly the right solution for them. And this is what gets really interesting, right? Even though they're, you know, the friends and families, most of them don't own a battery electric because they still own an ICE engine, right? So for them to go and talk to somebody that has a BEV, you know, probably that's not the case for a lot of these people, right? And then that's why what they're also saying is that a PHEV is a good substitute for them in the interim until those concerns about charging actually improves. And that's why we also saw in the survey that the PHEV is 83% of the consumers that are very likely to buy a BEV are also saying that PHEV is a good substitute for them in the near term.
Well, and that's the kind of the good news here is that it might be bad news for BEVs, but there's a lot of opportunity with plug-ins, Lloyd.
Yeah, well, you know, and the study suggests that the appeal of plug-ins may fade in the long term. But so is there some type of new advancements that in BEV technology or the infrastructure that's going to drive that shift?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is kind of what's happening in China, right? So in China, the market is looked at as new energy vehicles, which includes PHEVs and battery electric, right? I think we've gone down the path of just looking at BEVs. That's either or, right? I think what the consumers are saying is like, hey, give me a couple of options because, yes, I'd love to have a BEV in the future. That interest level increases from 35% today to 48% in 10 years from now. What they're saying is, you know, you're not addressing all the concerns that I have over the BEVs, but I'm still interested in something electrified, and PHEV is an option for them, right? But you're right, that interest level goes down as time goes on. But again, they are evaluating the PHEV based on today's concerns of battery electric vehicles, right? The hope is that as time goes on, technology improves and there's more charging places. But the bottom line is, you know, BEV is not dead. It's still steady and growing. But it's all about fixing charging. And once that's fixed, in the minds of consumers, it's going to be helpful.
Well, fixing charging, but also, do we know, and perhaps this wasn't part of your survey, if gasoline should bump up to $4 a gallon or higher, how much would that change the conversation?
Well, I think that's a fair question. I think that we've seen that correlation. But I still think that, a battery electric vehicle for the early majority of the people that have concerns about where they're going to charge is still going to be a primary concern for them. They might switch to a PHEV before they jump directly into a battery electric vehicle, right? These are structural constraints that they have. Because if I'm living in an apartment complex, where am I going to charge if I don't have a charger to charge? And if it's going to be 6 to 8 hours to charge, that completely changes the way I run my life, right? That's kind of how people are thinking about it. As we get more and more fast chargers and, you know, people are seeing that it's not as onerous as they thought, and that should change, but it'll take some time.
AlixPartners.com is where you can find the full report. Arun Kumar, thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And that's Mobility Makers for this Tuesday. When we come back, yesterday, some oral arguments at the Supreme Court asking the question, how far can municipalities go in enforcing homelessness ordinances? Or are you punishing someone for being homeless? That's next at 6:49.